Ass up ahead. I'm going to need help with this. He doesn't look good. Reese cut Ali's right bio suit leg off with trauma shears as Haley pulled the ambulance to the side of the road under the overpass. She kept the vehicle running and joined Reese in back.
Okay,
she said, pulling on rubber gloves and assessing the wound, noting Reese had used the tape from the trauma kit to tie Ali's hands and legs to the gurney. Blood pumped from the wound, covering Reese, Haley, the gurney, and floor of the ambulance.
This vein runs under the adductor muscle and medial, and the nerve runs lateral, exposing the artery, she said to herself, thinking back to her time in the ER during rotations. VAN, vein, artery, nerve, medial to lateral, 3 inches below the inguinal ligament.
What does that mean?
Reese asked, unable to control the urgency in his voice.
It means the tourniquet is not working. He's going to be dead in minutes, if not seconds.
Shit, let's clamp it.
Find the clamps in any IV bags. They are in here somewhere,
she said, turning to go through the drawers and cabinets behind her. Reese did the same, rummaging through the unfamiliar space on his side. Ali's eyes fluttered open and he managed a weak moan.
Don't you worry, Ali. We are going to save your life, but only so you can answer questions.
Found the IV bags, Haley said.
And I think these are the clamps, Reese said, grabbing the longest tool from a drawer labeled hemostat.
Those will work, Haley responded.
She looked down at the wound, still spitting blood.
I can't see or do anything through that hole. Just hold the pressure. It will take me a second to get this set up, she said.
Reese pushed back down on the wound with both hands, looking into Ali's glassy eyes. He was on the verge of unconsciousness.
We have to stop this bleeding, she said.
Reese removed his hands from the terrorist's leg, blood continuing to pump from the body.
Damn it, Haley said. I can't see in there. The puncture wound is too small.
As she finished her sentence, Reese unsheathed his knife and stuck the tip in the hole, slicing up and then down Ali's leg to enlarge the wound. Ali's eyes opened wide and he gasped in pain.
Reese, what are you doing?
Haley shouted.
Now you can see it. Clamp it, he said, handing her the hemostat.
Haley took a breath to clear her head.
Haley, this man is responsible for the deaths of thousands and is the key to saving millions more. Clamp it.
Haley grabbed the hemostat from Reese and jabbed it into Ali's leg, using her free hand to manipulate the wound to give her better access. Ali's screams filled the interior of the ambulance.
Shit, she said. Probably clamped the nerve.
Haley repositioned herself and steadied her breathing.
Vein, artery, nerve, she repeated as she clamped down again, bringing the arterial pump to a stop.
Yes, nice work, Reese said.
He needs fluids or we are going to lose him.
Haley pulled a bag of lactated Ringer's solution from a drawer along with an 18-gauge IV needle, twisting his left arm taped to the gurney in an attempt to find a vein.
Did you have to tape him up? Hard to get a stick like this.
Reese slashed the tape with his fixed blade.
Better?
Better,
Haley confirmed.
Just need the right angle, she said, missing the sticks on her first three attempts.
Jesus, where did you go to medical school?
Fuck you, Reese. His veins are collapsing. There is nothing to put it in. I can't get a stick.
What about the subclavian vein? Reese asked.
And where did you go to medical school?
I saw a PJ do it in Iraq, save my friend's life.
All right, I haven't done one since my third year of med school, but let's try.
Haley switched positions as Reese retaped Ali's hands to the gurney. She assessed the patient's upper chest and neck. Feeling her way around the clavicle, she placed her index finger in the sternal notch and her thumb at an angle to guide the needle.
Here goes,
she said, inserting it just below the clavicle and above the first rib. She was rewarded with an instant return of dark blood. Ali let out a groan. With a spurt of venous blood returning to the syringe, she hooked up the IV, wiped sweat from her forehead, and squeezed half the IV bag into the man on the gurney. Haley leaned back against the drawers in the cramped space of the ambulance. The three of them were covered in blood, but all were alive.
You drive. I'll take it from here, Reese said.
What are you going to do? She asked.
Whatever I have to.
Chapter 57. Ali watched, obviously still in intense pain, breathing labored as Reese read the labels on bottles from the narcotics locker. Haley drove in silence, concentrating on getting them to the private side of the airport and back to the CIA Gulfstream. putting up a mental barrier between herself and what was going on in the rear of the ambulance.
"I know you," Ali whispered.
Reese turned his attention from the medical cabinet to the terrorist strapped to the gurney.
"Yeah? I do tend to get around. I saw your car in Chicago, and I saw you in Atlanta. You should be dead."
Reese paused, considering his next move.
"I know you too. Dr. Ali Reza Ansari, Biodyne, originally from Iran."
"You know nothing,"
Ali said, forcing a confident smile.
"I have a few pieces, but I don't know everything. You are going to fill in some blanks for me."
"It's too late. I know you are not going to let me live. I am just an innocent Muslim targeted by the xenophobic American intelligence community, a victim of a systemically racist government."
"Yeah, well, the Ministry of Truth might be on your side. Unfortunately for you, I found a bottle of succinylcholine in the fridge here. Do you know what that is?"
Ali's eyes widened. He was familiar with the drug. "I was just sent a file with your resume. Very impressive. With a background like that, I bet you know all about succinylcholine.
I don't even have to tell you what it does," Reese informed his subject. Reese knew it well. It had been a favorite of the CIA doctors assigned to his covert action unit in Iraq. They had developed techniques that left no physical marks on the body. This was one of them. The American public was familiar with waterboarding. They had never read an article or heard talking heads debate the merits or legalities of this technique. Waterboarding had nothing on what Reese was preparing to do. "In case you need a refresher course, it's a muscle paralytic, meaning that it's going to paralyze every muscle in your body. You will be able to hear, see, and feel everything, but you will not be able to move. Most notably, you will not be able to breathe."
Ali shifted nervously in his restraints.
"You cannot do this to me. I am a Swiss citizen. I demand to see an attorney and a representative at the consulate."
"Unfortunately, I am not with the FBI, the police, or any agency who gives a shit. Let's see if this stuff works as well as I remember." Reese held up a bag valve mask. "Do you know what this is?" he asked.
"Of course you do. You're a doctor."
"It's an AMBU bag, an artificial respirator."
Reese extracted 50 milligrams of succinylcholine from a bottle into a syringe and injected it into the IV port. Ali's eyes widened again, and he thrashed in an attempt to free his hands of the duct tape. "It might take a second or two to fully take effect," Reese advised, pulling a strip of silver duct tape from the roll. 10 seconds later, Ali went limp as the drug paralyzed his body to include the organs that facilitated breathing.
"You won't be able to open your eyes on your own, so this will ensure you can see everything I'm doing," Reese said, taping Ali's eyelids open. "I'd hate for you to miss out. When this first dose wears off, I'll have some questions. If you answer them to my satisfaction, I might let you live. If you don't, well, there is plenty of succinylcholine for us to keep this up. For hours, maybe even days. I can carve you up, remove fingers, toes. I might even cut your balls and dick off. You won't be able to move, but you will feel and see, that I assure you. Don't worry, though. I don't think that will be necessary. Taking your air will be all I need to do."
As Ali's ability to breathe shut down completely, Reese gave him 30 seconds before leaning over and placing the self-inflating AMBU bag over his nose and mouth, squeezing it to give him a life-sustaining breath.
"Reese, what are you doing back there?"
Haley asked nervously from the driver's seat.
"I'm not sure you want to know."
"Jesus, Reese.
Just drive."
Reese lifted up one of Ali's fingers, confirming there was no muscle tone. The succinylcholine was working exactly as intended. Reese came off the breathing bag and watched Ali's eyes. The man was alive but had no control of his body.
The very breath that sustained life now came from an infidel. Reese wiped the blood from the face of his Rolex and counted the second hands ticking away. On average, it takes 4 to 6 minutes for the brain to die of oxygen starvation. With all your blood loss, it will probably be a lot less. At the 1 minute mark, Reese gave Ali another breath. Ali, I already know the virus is Marburg variant U. Your little helper broke, like all you warriors of Allah. Tough when you were blowing up women and children or beheading prisoners, but weak little bitches when put to the test. When this dose wears off, all you need to do is tell me where it came from and if or how it transmits from human to human. I also want to know who came up with this plan and why. If we can work our way through that, we will take you to the hospital. If not, you are going to the morgue. Reese gave Ali another breath as he began to stir, the paralytic diluting enough for him to begin breathing on his own, the resolve in his eyes replaced by fear. You are going to talk to me, Ali, Reese said, drawing a second dose from the bottle. Ali muttered something inaudible. That's not clear enough, Ali, he said before injecting another 50 milligrams into the IV. Reese looked back at his watch. At the 3 minute mark, he gave Ali a breath, forcing precious air into the lungs and brain of a man dying in silent terror from suffocation, unable to do a thing about it. Haley turned in her seat.
Reese, feel his forehead.
It's hot. He's burning up.
Shit. Malignant hyperthermia.
What's that? Reese asked.
It's a side effect of multiple doses of that drug you were giving him.
Reese gave him another breath.
Damn it, Reese. He's going to hit 107 and seize. You are going to kill him before you get what we need.
What can I do?
Look in the locker for something called dantrolene.
Reese pulled the breathing bag from Ali's face and frantically searched the locker, reading labels and throwing bottles to the side.
Could it have another name?
He shouted as Haley sped down the highway.
Possibly Dantrium, Dantamacrin, or Dantrolin.
Shit, I just tossed Dantrium, Reese said, scrambling to the discarded bottles rolling around on the floor of the moving vehicle until he found what he was looking for.
Got it. Good. Inject 20 milligrams into the line.
Reese pushed the drug into the IV port and gave Ali another breath as the muscle paralytic wore off. Haley leaned across the seat and jerked a Yeti cooler from the floor of the passenger side onto the seat. Opening the lid, she pulled out a sandwich and dropped it to the seat. She fished around inside with her right hand and removed a Gatorade and two artificial ice packs.
Put these in his armpits and groin to help him cool down, she said, tossing them back to Reese.
Ali gasped as the ability to breathe on his own slowly returned. He had never been so utterly helpless, at the complete mercy of another.
Who was this American devil?
He thought of his brother hanging from the noose. Had he regretted his decision to take his own life? Had he desperately tried to loosen the rope that constricted the blood and oxygen to his brain? Ali wondered if he would shit and piss himself the way his brother had.
What are you thinking about, Ali? Ready to go another round?
It came from Angola.
What was that? Reese asked, hitting the voice recorder on his phone.
It came from Angola, or it came from a lab here in America. Grown by a radicalized U.S. citizen named Sebastian Phillips. I was only here for a job interview. That's the story that this country will believe.
Without hesitation, Reese injected 75 milligrams of the paralyzing muscle agent into the IV and watched first the seconds and then the minutes tick by on his watch. He imagined the MC-130s taking off from Hurlburt, the pilots vectoring toward their targets, dropping the Moabs on citizens of their own country. He saw Lauren and Lucy playing together at a park in Coronado, looking up at an unfamiliar whistling sound as the bomb vectored in to explode overhead. Lauren became Katie, rushing to Lucy to shield her with her own body, Lucy's curiosity turning to terror, screaming as the fuel-air explosive burned their bodies from existence.
Reese!
Screamed Haley, jolting Reese back to the present. I'm here, I'm here.
He's seizing,
Haley yelled, twisting in her seat.
Fuck.
Reese pushed the breathing device onto Ali's face and started squeezing, forcing air in and out of his lungs.
"Come on, fucker, I'm not done with you yet,"
he said, the vision of Lauren, Lucy, and Katie seared into his consciousness. Reese slipped his fingers to the side of Ali's neck.
"No pulse. Hit him with the AED,"
Haley yelled.
"Shit.
Wait," Haley ordered.
"Give him Valium first."
"Valium where?"
Haley turned in her seat.
"Try that drawer,"
she said, pointing.
"Got it. How much?"
10 milligrams right into the IV port.
Reese drew what was close to 10 milligrams and pushed it into Ali's body through the IV. He then reached for the automated external defibrillator and attached the AED pads to Ali's chest, one on the right side just below the collarbone, and the other on the lower left side of his body below the heart. He was thankful that before his last deployment, all SEALs were required to add automated external defibrillator training to their pre-deployment workup checklist. Reese flipped the switch, bringing the machine to life, and followed the audio prompts. He hit the Analyze button. At the Stand Clear prompt, Reese leaned back as a jolt of electricity surged through Ali's chest. Nothing.
Shit!
Hit him again!
Haley shouted from the front of the ambulance. Reese repeated the procedure and brought Ali back from the dead.
"He's got a heartbeat and he's breathing," Reese reported. "His body can't take much more, Reese."
"Ali, listen to me. I can do this for days. You want to suffocate for days, I'll keep you alive as long as it takes."
Reese extracted another 75 milligrams of succinylcholine, deliberately, so that Ali could process what was about to happen. The assassin saw his brother hanging from the beam in his home, looking up at him for hours until his mother had returned. The wailing of his mother.
"It was a brilliant plan," Ali whispered.
"What?" Reese said, hitting his phone's audio recorder.
"Brilliant. Even with this forced confession. Brilliant."
"Whose plan, Ali?"
"It was my plan. Nothing can stop it now. That traitor, Monica Witt, planted the seed. Destroy your own cities. The Soviets had those plans too, you know."
"Witt? The Air Force sergeant?"
"There is no stopping this now. I might just be telling you what you want to hear, so that your president calls off the bombing, so that the virus spreads and destroys you."
"Is it a respiratory spread virus?" Ali paused, considering his answer.
"No. But can you trust my word?"
"How did it get into the United States?" Ali paused and Reese injected the drug back into his system.
"Almost there, Reese,"
Haley reported, taking the exit for the airport. Reese counted 3 minutes and 30 seconds on his watch, then gave Ali a breath.
"Just give me a name, Ali. Give me a name and I'll end this."
Ali's eyes darted back and forth, pure, unadulterated panic gripping his soul as the drug wore off and allowed him to breathe.
"Here's an easy one," Reese said. "What did you mean when you said I should be dead?"
Through the confusion of the fever burning up his brain, the oxygen deprivation, and visions of his brother swinging from the rope, Ali whispered a name.
"Hafez Qasem."
Ali's eyes rolled back into his head, and his body contorted against the duct tape.
"Shit, he's seizing again," Reese shouted.
"Try the AED.
Reese turned on the machine and followed the prompts. This time, the jolts did not return Ali from the dead. Reese transitioned to CPR as Haley rocketed toward the airport. After 5 minutes of chest compressions where Reese felt ribs breaking under the pressure, he tried the AED in a last-ditch effort to revive the terrorist.
"It's done, Reese."
Reese fell back into the side bench seat, completely spent and exhausted.
"It doesn't spread human to human. We can tell the president to call off the strikes," Haley said, turning down a street leading to the private government terminal.
"What if he was lying?"
"He wasn't lying, Reese."
Reese picked up his phone and sent the recording to Vic.
"I don't think it's enough,"
For Christ's sake, Haley said. What else do we need?
Reese looked at the dead body still attached to the gurney covered in the blood, IV attached to his arm, the bottle of succinylcholine. Drugs. Vaccines. Bioweapons. Reese's phone buzzed with a message from Vic.
Final option. Noon tomorrow. Director is taking this information to the White House. We'll need scientific evidence to back up claims.
Reese texted back. Hafez Qasem? His phone buzzed a minute later.
Iranian intelligence. Chief of station in D.C. Works from Pakistani embassy.
Put a team on him, Reese typed.
Roger. RTB.
What did he say?
Haley asked. RTB.
RTB?
Return to base, Reese said, closing his eyes and processing everything he'd learned. Before we do pass that cooler back, he said,